Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again. Those who don't know me, my name's Howard, and I'm part of the family, the Foundry family here, worshipping. It's a great joy, privilege to be able to share again with you. We're continuing the series Come and See. This is the third one. We're going to look at Jesus welcoming, Jesus inviting us all. I had a question up. Have you ever had to make a very quick decision, an important decision? And I'm not going to listen to any answers. I'm sorry about that. You were fooled. But I want you to think. We do sometimes in life. Well, we all make decisions all the time. Some are really important, aren't they? Some are not so important. But we do have those times when we have life-changing decisions. And the character we're going to look at this morning in particular, called Matthew, he had to make a life-changing decision. And we're going to look at a short clip from the Chosen series, the film series, which we enjoy. We're going to see what happened just after Matthew, or Levi, as he's called, made a quick and life-changing decision. I've got the same problem Rachel had. Matthew and Levi are the same person. They've all got different names. It's important, though, because he was Levi, and because of the change Jesus made, he followed Jesus and was transformed, and his name change is symbolic of that. Matthew means gift of God, and so it's really interesting that instead of being a twister, a thief, a man who was betraying his own people, the Lord Jesus changed him so much that it became a gift of God to others. So we're going to watch this, and it's a short clip. Let's watch it together. It's good to see things visualized, isn't it? It's a version of what happened after Matthew welcomed his associates and gave them a feast, and Jesus was there. We're going to follow up what happened later. Let's pray. And then I'm going to read the account of that we have in the New Testament. I'm going to pray using words that have already been repeated. I feel that the Lord's actually preempted me quite a lot in the service so far. So if I repeat myself, that's great. The Lord's telling us something, isn't he? I'm going to use the words of one of the songs we sang earlier. So please pray with me. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We come to you to hear from your word by your spirit. And Lord, we speak your name, Jesus, over every heart and every mind. And because we know there's peace in your presence, we speak Jesus. We speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. We declare, Lord, there's hope and freedom here this morning. We speak the name of Jesus over all fear and all anxiety and to every soul held captive by depression. Lord, we speak Jesus because your name is powerful. Your name is healing. Your name is life. So, Lord, this morning, in this place, speak to all of us and break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows, Lord, and burn like a fire. Amen. I begin with apologies to Steve. I'm very glad he's not here, actually, because the text I'm using is not Mark, as was advertised. The story we're looking at is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they're very, very similar. There are very few differences. So I've kind of put a conglomerate together. There are some on the slide that we're going to see come up. There are some phrases in brackets, square brackets, and they're just borrowed from other versions of this story. But we're going to read mainly from Luke chapter 5. It's where Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners. After this, Jesus went out And as he passed by, he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Amen. This incident actually is a vitally important one in the whole gospel account. It encapsulates really the whole message of the gospel. Why Jesus came and what he can do. He changes lives. He restories our stories. He makes things different from a certain point into the future. And I love the phrasing of this. Jesus is passing by. He sees Levi and calls him to follow. And this morning here, Jesus is here by his Spirit. And he's passing by. And he sees us. And the verb see implies a perceiving. He knows us. He understands us. He understands. He knows all about me and all about you, all about my past, all about my long past, all about my immediate past. He knows where I'm going. He knows what my aspirations are, what I hope for, the disappointments in life. He knows all about all of us. And he knows what we are. Not just what the outside looks like, but he knows what we are inside. And he's inviting us. He's calling us. So as he passes by this morning, we're going to use the story of what he says and does with Levi and the Pharisees, and we're going to apply it to ourselves. And my prayer is this morning that you will know that Jesus is passing by and that he's calling you. And actually, it doesn't matter whether we know him already or have known him for years, or whether we don't. We may be confused. We may be very much more than confused. But to all of us, the Lord Jesus this morning says, follow me, or keep following me. There is always more with him. We're going to look at the three main parties: Levi, or Matthew's actions, the Pharisees' actions, and Jesus' actions. Probably won't spend quite so much time on Levi and the Pharisees, because Jesus is the main focus for us this morning, isn't he? So let's look again at verses 27 and 28, Levi's actions. After this, Jesus went out, and as he passed by, he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Levi was going about his normal work. It was his normal day. He was doing kind of normal things. But suddenly, there was an unexpected intrusion to this unlikely person. Imagine Jesus choosing somebody like him. But that's the heart of Jesus. We're going to see Jesus' heart, his desires displayed in this story. He was working, Matthew was working, to get rich. He was chasing his dreams. But actually becoming isolated, selling his soul for nothing. His own people, the name Levi speaks of the old priesthood, the order. He was kind of, you know, identified in that sense with his own people, where he came from, but he had nothing to do with them, and in fact, they hated him because of what he was doing. Completely betraying his others. But suddenly, Jesus sees him and says, "Follow me." Now, there must have been something in Matthew's heart, something in Jesus' call, that moment, that day, that made him say, "Yes, this is what I've been looking for. Somehow, this is the answer." And he followed. And did you notice, in the following, he left everything. Now, quite like Luke's version, Luke's the doctor, he's important in detail. A number of verses earlier, in fact, in verse 11, when Jesus calls Simon and James and John, the fishermen, Luke tells us in the same chapter that they left everything and followed him. There's a bit of a clue here for us. In following Jesus, we have to leave. To get something, to gain life and satisfaction, and I'm going to come back to this word later, wholeness, we have to leave. We have to leave. And again, I'll come back to that. If you think about it, it's a kind of, we've heard maybe in some of us in the old days, that very, very, very important, very good word, repentance. We turn around. We say goodbye to the old, and we follow Jesus. That's what Matthew did. There was something about Jesus that could be trusted. And in that moment, he committed his life to him in absolute assurance that he'd be safe. Not knowing the future, but knowing he'd be safe. And I think Jesus calls us too in exactly the same way. And we want to be like Levi, like Matthew. To follow Jesus, we leave. It may be costly in different ways. I don't mean financially. There are some things that we have to give up. Jesus says, count the cost. Those of us who have done that and are doing it, it's a growing, it's a process, it's a walk. Those of us who are doing it are learning and following and saying, thank you, Lord. I trust you. Let's move on to the Pharisees in verses 29 and 30. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. A large crowd of tax collectors and others, one of the versions says, and other sinners, were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" It's interesting. We're going to come back to the fact that the answer is given by Jesus. The Pharisees' actions, they're interested in the outward appearance. They wanted things to be right, they thought, to look right, to go by the rules. But it was all to do with the outward, what things seemed to be like. They were self-righteous and blind. They thought they were okay, but they weren't. They were not okay. Sometimes we think we're okay. We can manage, we're coping. But we're not okay unless we're following Jesus. Unless we accept his invitation, his welcome, because he welcomes all of us. Doesn't matter how in we think we are, or how we look good and how good we are look on the outside. And did you notice that the Pharisees bring condemnation? Why are you eating and drinking with those? But Matthew had changed. Matthew was following Jesus now. And we've got to be careful, haven't we? Sometimes we can be tempted to do it ourselves. Don't think they've changed, or what are they doing? But other people do. The enemy, the devil, loves to bring up our past, loves to bring condemnation. Oh, back to that old you know? And that's wrong. It's wrong. The Lord Jesus has set us free. They were looking at the past, what the people used to be like. Jesus is looking to the cross, where it's all going to be solved, all resolved. In fact, as Jesus said, it's all finished in his body on the tree. We've remembered the communion this morning, haven't we? His sacrifice for us. Let's move on finally to Jesus in his action. I love the fact that, you know, the Pharisees came and said, why are you doing that? Jesus answered, steps in. Verse 31, Jesus answered them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus reveals his nature full of grace and truth. Like he called Levi and calls others, he called the disciples, he calls us. He invites, the word call means invites. It's interesting, isn't it? It's nothing forced. We decide. We decide. One of those choices I talked about earlier. A life-changing choice to commit everything to Jesus. Or not. His call, though, is compelling and powerful. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, we read the same kind of story. He's talking to the disciples, and he says, follow me, and I will make you. Many of you know that's one of my favorite verses. Not the favorite, but one of the favorite verses I have. Where Jesus says, follow me, I will make you. Whatever he wants me to be. We're all different. We all have different gifts, different callings. And the Lord Jesus can make us fully who we are meant to be in him. So that the Lord Jesus, the Christ, is seen, is revealed, even through us. And we want that, like I said, to be more and more and more. It's one of the prayers of the church at the moment, isn't it? Our kind of motto, our aim. Follow me and I'll make you. And then he tables with these so-called sinners, doesn't he? He tables with them. We talk about table communities at the moment. I think I've made that verb up. It's a new verb, I think. He tables with them. He has a meal with them, deeply, deeply significant in the Eastern culture. To share bread, to share drink with them. He's identifying with them. Oh, my goodness. He's accepting them. As they are. Because he's going to change them. And change them and change them. Changed from glory into glory. Till in heaven we take our place. Love divine, all loves excelling. For those who don't know the old-fashioned hymns. Changed from glory to glory. Until we're with him. Like Rachel, I refer to Tom Wright, the great New Testament scholar. And he says that Jesus in this moment is enacting God's grace by sharing food with the marginalized. He's challenging the purity culture. The Pharisees had this purity culture. Well, you've got to do things properly. You've got to do it this way, all outward. Jesus is talking about the inward, our hearts. We need a new heart. The Bible tells us that. We need a new nature, one that wants more of God, that's hungry for him. And best of all, just to finish with, he explains he's like a doctor going to the sick. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. He is the healer we all need. The church is made up of a group of people who either need healing or are being healed. Isn't that a wonderful process? We all need healing. You know, and some of us haven't started yet. Some of us this morning maybe need that first touch. Some of us this morning maybe need to come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, heal me. I love the word heal. You know, sorry, I'm into words. It means made whole. Isn't that a lovely picture? Jesus makes us whole. And of course, it involves lots of things. He's calling this morning the weak, the poor, the lame, the outcast, the overwhelmed, the defeated, the addicted, the lost, the confused, the disappointed and disillusioned, the wounded. He says, follow me and I will make you. He welcomes us, all of us, into his family, into his kingdom. He really is the healer we need. I'm afraid I don't have these two verses that are very important ones on slides, so you have to listen very carefully. Forgive me, my fault. 700 years or more before Jesus came and was saying this and doing this, the prophet Isaiah was given a message about Jesus. And it says this, Isaiah 53:5. It's quite easy to remember, 5:3:5. Okay? Isaiah 53:5. But he, that's talking about Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. We've remembered that in communion this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And listen to the last bit. By his wounds, we are healed, made whole. How does it work? It's because Jesus took all of me on that cross, all of my failure, all of my sin, everything, all the ways I've let others down, everything negative about me, he took on the cross. Now, I love it that Peter, who I think was actually almost like, he's the one, you know, he's the follower of Jesus, who was the kind of worse than a failure. You know, apparently going to be one of the leaders. But when it came to the bit, just at that, you know, when Jesus was being crucified, denied him 3 times. Almost like worse than a failure. And he swore. But Jesus reinstated him. Like I said, restored him, gave him a whole new future, forgiven, made new. And Peter wrote later in his letter, 1 Peter 2:24, the message puts it this, he used his servant body, Jesus, to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing. You were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. Now you are named. I know you, Jesus says, by name, and we're kept good by the shepherd of our souls. The New Living puts the same thing slightly differently. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. For by his wounds, you're healed. You're made whole. Paul writes about this as well. He talks about being dead to the old life and alive in Jesus to the new life. So Jesus is passing this morning. We've heard a lot about him calling us, welcoming us all. Another thing I love, don't you love these little touches that God puts into the Bible? Matthew's version of the story that we've read, so the Matthew bit, written by Matthew, writing about himself, he adds the verse from Hosea, the prophet, the bit that says, I want you to show love. I want you to show, God says, mercy, not sacrifice. I want you to know me more than burnt offerings. Mercy is compassion. It's love shown towards a guilty person instead of punishing them. And that's the bit Matthew wrote. That's the bit Matthew remembered, because he had been a complete and utter failure, a rogue, a betrayer, a cheat, a thief, outcast. But Jesus had said, follow me. And he'd been brought in to the healing. So we need to respond and keep responding. It's not once for all. We keep responding. We come to that altar we've sung about daily. We're going to sing. The band are going to lead us again just as we close. We're going to sing about the Lord Jesus, able to make a way through anything for us to get to him. Able to make a way through anything to bring the healing we need. So as we sing, we can say the Lord is here and he's moving in our midst. There is nothing impossible. He is our way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper. He is our light in the darkness, turning lives around. Get it? Left everything and followed. If you've not done that yet, perhaps this morning's a good opportunity to just say yes. Or to say, Lord, I want more. You know, because it's an invitation for all of us. He wants to make every heart whole. Every heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed here. And we just, Lord, commit ourselves. We would say almost we abandon ourselves to you. We want to say yes. Lord, each and every one of us needs to just follow you more every day. Would you bless us, Lord, as we respond? In Jesus' name.